Good afternoon. Thanks for staying this long. Must be a long day sitting in sessions and listening to all and being killed by all the PowerPoints, right? So my name is Alan Mius. I am part of a team at Microsoft in Microsoft Services, which is called the Windows Center of Excellence. We are a small global team of consultants or architects, or whatever you want to call us, that actually tries to help early adopting customers in adopting some of the Windows-based technologies and feeding that back into the Microsoft product engineering teams to, one, find short-term workarounds when blockers appear and long-term engineering solutions. This is part one of Windows 10 mobile deployment, so it's really specifically around Windows 10 mobile, although a lot of this stuff also applies to Windows 10 plain, if we can call it that way, or Windows 10 for PCs that has the same mobile device management infrastructure, etc. So lots of this is probably applicable. Just as a, sorry if I do that. Because otherwise I don't see anybody in that corner anyway. How many of you have Windows 10 mobile devices deployed in your organization? Maybe 15, 20%? All right. How many of you have Windows Phone 8.1 devices deployed? One? Only one? Two? Maybe? You don't know anymore? All right, two. That's not a lot. Just to be honest, I think the majority of Windows phone devices still in the market at this point in time, in numbers, are Windows Phone 8.1 devices. And certainly a lot of them are consumer devices, if you want, right, or used by end users and not necessarily used within a business context as such. That gives me some ideas. Anyway, in this session, I won't talk about Windows Phone 8.1 migration. I will do that tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. But we will talk about identity management and deployment. I will talk about the three first sections of the device lifecycle, if you want, configuration management and apps and Windows Store deployment as such. The session is really focused at enabling or talking through a number of how do we gather requirements, how do we get these requirements within a infrastructure that needs to be deployed, defining the functional specification, the profiles, etc. What kind of hurdles are you going to hit if you go through that exercise to be able to pilot or do a proof of concept with Windows 10 mobile devices, and then later on mass deploy or in quantity, deploy Windows 10 mobile devices within your organization. So really looking at today at getting these devices ready, getting the infrastructure ready to be able to deploy them as needed for specific groups within your organization. Tomorrow morning, I'll talk about operations and retirement, which will be much more around update management, how to manage updates, health attestation and conditional access, Windows information protection, or the sandboxing or containerization, if you want, of enterprise data and applications, and retirement, as well as some elements around Windows Phone 8.1 upgrades to Windows 10 Mobile. That's at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. So let's talk about identity and devices. The first thing we usually work with customers on is defining who is going to use these mobile devices, because there are lots of use cases for mobile devices. Obviously, on your left side, is the bring your own device scenario, which is a very, let's call it, limited scenario today for Windows 10 mobile devices. There are not a lot of consumers who are buying Windows 10 mobile devices. Anybody disagrees? Right? It's better in some markets, but in most markets, Windows 10 mobile devices are not purchased in large quantities by consumers. They buy iOS and Android devices, obviously, right? But the main scenarios we work on with customers and also fits within the kind of new Microsoft strategy around Windows 10 Mobile are the corporate liable devices or devices that are being purchased by corporations for information type of workers, right? And specialized scenarios that are task worker based or profession based or have a certain goal to support a line of business application or a line of business process within an organization as such. It's important to define who these devices are being used for. And if you look a little bit in the market, like, I don't know, who flew in with Delta Airlines? I did, fly in with Delta Airlines. They're using Windows mobile devices, right? Within airplanes, because the stewards are using them to sell you liquor and food and those kind of things. They have information about passengers on those devices, et cetera. And they have a credit card reader and a PCI compliant software stack on top of them that is being used. Multiple of these type of scenarios are being used in are kind of the specialized scenario. Being able to define requirements for those specific users is really important because that also will lead to writing the spec, so to speak, on what is the configuration, what are the applications needed, what is the infrastructure needed to support this. In what's unique to Windows 10 Mobile in the market, in mobile market if you want, is the ability to register or to use a work account, as we are kind of trying to use that across Microsoft, or a account that belongs to the organization. If you're using Windows Phone 8.1 today or have used them in the past, right, you know that the device required a Live ID or a Microsoft account. And there are lots of issues around using Live IDs within an organization. First of all, the legal document that comes with the Live ID on an MSA is a legal document between Microsoft and a user, an individual. It's never a contract between Microsoft and you as an organization, right? That's a really big legal issue with it, because in principle, a user that uses a Live ID can take it with him or her when she leaves the organization as such. Being able to switch to a corporate or work account with Azure AD specifically enables you to own that account and own the functionality and the configuration on the device based on that account. Using Azure AD, and this is not a session about Azure AD, has multiple ways of looking at it. Who has deployed or is using Azure AD within their organization today? Well, maybe 10%, a little less than the Windows 10 users, but it's a directory provider in the cloud. It's a cloud-based directory provider. It's called AD, but it is not AD. It's not the same thing. It does deliver identity management and has a authentication infrastructure that enables users to authenticate against that identity provider, and I'll talk about a little bit about that, so that they can securely authenticate against services and applications that are needed for them to do their work. You can do cloud-based only. If you're using Office 365, you're actually using Azure AD, right? Or a version of Azure AD, I should say. And if you're using Intune or as part of Enterprise Mobility and Security Suite, that also includes Azure AD. You can have Azure AD separate, et cetera. There are multiple ways to purchase it. But it's a cloud-based identity provider that enables you to allow users to log into their devices purely cloud connected. It doesn't require any on-premise infrastructure. However, you can obviously have integration with your on-premises infrastructure with your AD that probably most of you are using today. You can do a synchronization setup, or you can do a federation setup. And without going into all the details, a synchronization setup means that you will publish part of the information published in your AD to Azure AD, usernames probably, right? Some information about the user. It's a system that can be filtered. You don't have to publish everything, so that you have a synchronization between the two. Passwords are also synchronized, not the real password. And I'm going to plead that, please don't use passwords in the cloud, but we'll talk about that in a minute. You have control over what you're synchronizing. With a federation system, you have more functionality available, specifically also around single sign-on, et cetera, that enables you to better integrate across the board your infrastructure, your on-premises infrastructure, with a cloud-based infrastructure here. So you have choices. If you want to try out, if you don't use it today, if you want to try it, there's a URL all the way on the bottom there, right? And you need to use en-us if you're not from the US. You have to use that because otherwise you won't get to this page, and you can just trial for 90 days a full Azure AD plus EMS, so you can do what we are talking about right now and just try it for 90 days. I would say if you want to do that, don't start tonight. Wait until you're ready. 90 days are going being gone in a wink, right? They're just gone very quickly. The only thing you need is a Microsoft account or a Live ID to activate this. Obviously, you can create multiples, but don't tell anybody I told you so. Why are customers using Azure AD for this? Because it helps them reduce, with all the mobile devices, their on-premises footprint. You don't need any additional servers to stand up DCs or what have you. You have a cloud-based infrastructure. You can manage one identity, even if you don't synchronize everybody within the organization, but just a limited group. You can limit it to a certain number of people, et cetera, to share that or synchronize that information with the cloud and allow that group of people to do it. You don't have different identities that you need to manage. They're always in sync. You always have the latest technology because the cloud is updated constantly. You have self-service options for password management, et cetera, for users, as well as for registration of devices. There's a lot of cost savings here in doing mobile device management with a cloud-based identity system such as Azure AD, right? If you start small in a pilot, you can grow pretty quickly to a larger group of people. It scales out pretty easily as such. And it is a corporate, it's a work identity. It's not something that a consumer brings. You can apply it to bring your own as well as corporate-owned devices, right? When it's a bring your own, and I'll talk about that in a minute, the user will also have a Microsoft account on their Windows 10 device, right? Next to the work account that they will be working with. So, for those who have six, I think. Let's try six. Yep. Never seen it, and I'm using IE here because of Intune. But I have here an instance of a cloud instance, right? And if I scroll down, I have here a Azure AD with a number of users. It's very typical, the same Azure AD you would get if you do this eval version, right? So you can add users, et cetera, to it. I have associated with this Azure AD a number of applications. In my case, this is Office 365, SharePoint, Exchange, Intune, and some other stuff, Yammer, what have you, right? They're all associated applications because the authentication done against this Azure AD will be used for users to get access to these applications. As you see, I'm using Intune here, but if you want to use another application from the gallery, I can go down. I won't use it here, but I will do mobile device management. So for those people who are using not Microsoft Intune, not Mobile Iron or AirWatch or others, some MDM vendors will provide interfaces or ability to integrate with Azure AD without being in the catalog. You can add them as, and they will instruct you on how to add them to your Azure AD as such. In this Azure AD, I will also attribute licenses for different applications or different users. In this case, it's EMS, and I will add these licenses for all these users. That's my cloud-only infrastructure, right? If we go back to the slide before, we had cloud-only. This is not synchronizing with any DC, etc. If you want to trial that, you can actually do that with your subscription too, and for example, set up a VM with a DC just to try it out as a proof of concept, if you want. So that's the infrastructure I'm using for all the kind of short demos I will do throughout the session. Any questions? Don't hesitate to ask me questions. I'd rather get some feedback than bore you. Am I boring you? All right. Just making sure, right? We are in Murphy, by the way. So challenges with identities. I talked about having individuals' identities, right? Live IDs, Microsoft accounts that were standard on Windows Phone 8.1 and that are being standard on iOS and Android and et cetera today, right? There are a number of challenges because you don't have control over these identities and people can walk out the door with it, right? And there may be stuff associated with the identity that you don't want them to walk out with, right? If users need to log into devices today, they are using passwords, although they may be digit-based passwords, right? But if they then log into an application, they're using passwords, and I don't have to tell long stories about how dangerous it is to use passwords for all kinds of applications, because those are kind of the weak spot in a security chain, right? As such. And if you want to add multi-factor authentication on top of passwords, that becomes a really complex situation with all kinds of systems, third-party systems often that need to be integrated. So our answer for Windows 10 Mobile and Windows 10 too, right, is Windows Hello. And previously before the anniversary update of Windows 10, we used to talk about Windows Hello as the biometric authentication within Windows 10, and then Microsoft Passport as a authentication infrastructure associated with that. Today, we have kind of simplified it and at the same time confused everybody by saying we're going to call all that Windows Hello now. So forget about Microsoft Passport. I think that's the second time Passport dies, but it is dead. So we call it Windows Hello. What is important here, it doesn't require a password. It is a key-based authentication system or a XAML-based authentication. It uses tokens in the end. But the authentication happens just like in a Kerberos environment, right? With a cryptographic challenge between the client and a identity provider to authenticate a user. So Windows Hello creates a key on a device, protects that, or creates two keys on a device, a public and a private one, protects the private one with a TPM within the Windows 10 mobile device or the Windows 10 device. For Windows 10 mobile, that's a requirement for a hardware vendor to create a device. It needs to have a TPM to protect these keys with, and there will be multiple keys that are protected here, right? It uses this asymmetric key pair to do the cryptographic challenge and response to get the authentication, and authenticates the users. I'll step through it in a minute. Azure AD is an identity provider that can use Windows Hello, right, to do the authentication. It's based on FIDO, which is a standard, and other vendors, Google, et cetera, are also working with FIDO, right? We're all working together on getting rid of passwords. This is kind of a business implementation of it. MSA today also uses this type of authentication mechanism, right? To enable users to register a device as a consumer device. They will get the same type of keys generated and will be able to use those keys to authenticate against cloud-based consumer services in the end. What's important here is the private key is generated on the device and it's never shared with anybody. Only that device has the key. If the user has multiple devices that are registered in Azure AD, these devices will have different keys. They don't never have the same keys. You can't lift the key of a device and use it somewhere else because it's also device bound, right? The key becomes invalid if you try to use it on another device, right? It's part of this authentication mechanism to bind the keys to the device, protect them with a TPM, and make them unique to that device and to that user. The AD, Azure AD, will just register a public key of that user as the public key of the user and will use that public key to do the cryptographic challenge and respond for authentication, right? Questions about this? How does that work? Well, let's first talk about the second part of Windows Hello, which is biometric authentication. That's easy for users. You can still use PINs and passwords if you require that or if the device doesn't support biometrics. But you can also use biometrics. On Windows 10 mobile devices, with the Lumia devices today, you can use iris scanning, right? With the HP X3, you can use a fingerprint reader in the back, so it supports fingerprint reading too. Right, and with a tablet like a Surface, you can use facial recognition. So it's a standard biometric framework that's part of the OS that is being made available to hardware vendors, so to speak, to implement in the way they want as such. This biometric authentication is used to unlock the keys on the device. Just like the PIN is used to unlock the keys on the device. The private key I was just talking about is being used for that specific reason. You can use biometrics for other things on the device. If you're using that key to authenticate against another service or to use a certificate that is protected on the device and you want to unlock that, you can use biometrics to unlock the TPM and say, provide me the private key of the certificate or of Windows Hello to do this authentication. This is MDM managed, and I'll show you in a minute. But how does this work when a user actually registers a device? So a user has a device, it's an employee, right? He creates an account on the device by registering the device, and I'll walk through it in a minute. At that point in time, The keys will be generated. The public key will be shared with Azure AD. Azure AD will register the device as well as the user and associate both with them. The key will be protected with a TPM. And now the device has an identity that is associated with itself as well as with that specific user, and the identity provider, aka Azure AD, knows about these, right? The Azure AD is able to authenticate the user, and then will give the user, every time the user comes to Azure AD to authenticate, a token, an authentication token. This is where token-based authentication mechanism standard comes in, right? It will give them a token that will be valid for a certain period of time that says, yes, Azure AD says, yes, I received this request to be authenticated by the user, and I authenticated the user on this device. That token is stored on the device, and it is bound to the device. So again, you can't lift the token off and bring it to another device to try to authenticate somewhere against an application, because it's specific to that device, to that user, to that period of time that it will be valid, because it will expire after a while, and the user will have to re-authenticate if you want. So with this authentication token, the user can now go to a trusting party, right? Office 365. It has this token and it says to Exchange in the cloud, give me my email, and Exchange will say, yeah, I trust Azure AD. Your token is valid. I can check that with Azure AD, and I'll give you access to this inbox, etc. Right? Inbox, any application that is registered in Azure AD, and I just showed you, I have a number of applications registered in my Azure AD. They trust it, and they will accept these tokens and give the user an access token for that specific application. Again, bound it to the device, protect it, so the user can actually work on that. In all this environment, right, the user only at this point in time needed a password the first time when he or she registered the device to Azure AD. After that, the user will never need to use a password again for these applications. Some applications don't know about Azure AD and this token-based authentication, obviously, right? And will still require users to have a password or a certificate. There are a number of relying parties at this point in time, and obviously the list is not complete, right? You can do a number of things with these keys that are sitting on the device. You can do Wi-Fi authentication, VPN authentication, authentication obviously to all these cloud-based applications. You can use them to unlock a locally universal Windows platform app if you want the user to be able to log in locally into that app. You can use them against on-premises applications because AD will understand the tokens that the user has under certain circumstances. It's a little easier on a desktop than on a mobile, and that's where you still see a difference, and I have a table for that in the next slide. On mobile, in many single sign-on scenarios for cloud versus on-premises, you need a VPN to be able to do that today as such. A mobile device, Windows 10 mobile device, does not speak Kerberos natively, right? Some of this can be enhanced with certificates. If you don't trust Microsoft, you can stand up your own client identity provider with your own CA and provide certificates to replace all these keys that are auto-generated by the operating system. It's a lot of work, right? But some customers will want that because they're hyper secure or for all kinds of reasons, right? So if we look at this table, in the first two rows, we have a typical on-premises domain joined situation where AD is the main identity provider and the primary account, the first account on the device that is being used, is actually a domain account, right? You know, you can associate a domain account with an MSA or a Microsoft account. And based on that AD account, you can also have data roaming or settings roaming, enterprise roaming across Azure AD, right? Between multiple devices and have the user experience go with the user and the settings of his applications, et cetera, go with the user. And you can have full single sign-on across the board. The red box is Windows 10 Mobile, right? As primary account, you can have a Azure AD account. You can have a second MSA if you want to allow the user to do that. That's available, right? Settings roaming at this point in time is not yet available. We know it's a gap and we're working on filling the gap. Not sure when we will do, but it's something we're really working at to fill this gap so that enterprise roaming between desktop, laptop, tablet, a phone, etc., will also happen not just on the in the desktop world, if you want, right? Windows 10 for PC, but also Windows 10 mobile devices. For single sign-on today, you need a VPN infrastructure that understands this, and I'll talk about VPN, I think. Not sure, I can talk about VPN to support this scenario. And then the two last rows are really the bring your own device kind of scenarios, right? Where you the first account is the consumer account, is the MSA. You can add an Azure AD account to it, but you lose a lot of the single sign-on for cloud applications as well as for on-premises applications. The user can still use that identity to log in, but he will have to interact all the time to say, yes, log me in with this account. Etc. There's one thing missing here. In the middle box, in every box actually, if I create a box, is that you can have a local account. Even on Windows 10 Mobile, you can have a local account. But the mobile, and I'll show you in a minute when I'll go through the scenario on the phone. If you do a local account, you're going to end up in the lower two rows, so to speak. You're going to end up in a situation where you have a registered workplace registered device with with an Azure AD account on it eventually that can be used to authenticate, but you will lose this automatic single sign-on for cloud-based applications as well as on-premise applications. Questions? Maybe we should give that a try. What number? 8. Right. So this is a out-of-the-box experience with a Lumia 950 XL. So this is the first screen. Choose the language. Then choose the country. There's no SIM in here, accept the license, right? Make sure the time is right. Is the time right? Yeah, Pacific time is 3 hours back. That's okay. And then I need a connection. Did I do that right? So I'm connected. This is what a user would see, right, when they set up their device. I'm going to go to the next one. I'm going to say Express. And in this place, the user will choose. The top ones show the heritage of Windows 10 or Windows Phone or Windows 10 Mobile, right, from a consumer perspective, because it really says create an MSA and use an MSA, right? We made the second row bigger. in the anniversary update to say set up for work. If this is a work account, click on this button to set up for work. Now, if I say sign in later, the really small ones under set up for work, I will create a local account, right? If you want to get rid of a local account, you have to reset the device. If you want to get rid of an MSA, you will have to reset the device. There's no way to get rid of an account on the device once it's initiated, apart from resetting it to factory settings. Okay? So I set up for work. Get my other phone because I implemented dual factor, or I implemented additional security on it. So next, it explains what's going to happen. At this point in time, my demo persona in you see me typing in here a totally ridiculous string as as an email account, if you want, right? Obviously, when you set this up, even if you set up an email version, which I haven't done that yet, I have not associated a vanity URL with this, right? I could have changed it to contoso.com or something like that, or whatever your domain is, and the user would type in his email address, which is for me, me@microsoft.com, and for your user, something else, right? So the user would usually type in something much more better, and I'm going to add the password. It's going to authenticate. It's going to go to Azure AD now. It's going to register the device, create an account for me on this device, create these keys, right? Create keys for the device itself too, and do all the registration. And if the internet is with us, this goes fast. If the internet is not with us, it's slower. All right. So obviously I need to set up a PIN. I need to get rid of my password, right? I just entered it, but I don't want to use it anymore, so I'm going to add a PIN. Now, at this point in time, I did verification. As you can see, it's verifying me. This could be done with a phone call to this actual phone, actually, right? Not to another phone. I'm using another phone, and I'm using a text message in this case. And this is a one-time PIN. The user can retry or use a different verification method if they don't have access to texting, for example, and that's the default thing. They can have call, they can have an additional email address, etc. To do this. So I'm verified, it's really me. And I create my PIN. This PIN protects the keys I've created with the TPM in this phone, so that I now have a protected identity on this device that I can start using to authenticate against all kinds of services. Right. At this point in time, something else is happening in the background. Obviously, I need to unlock my device. And you're losing screen, right? Let's see if... Now I don't want to restart this device. Anyway, you don't see it anymore. Oh, there it is, but kind of flaky. Don't know exactly what's going on, but that was the process. I'm in continuum now. My phone is connected to the bigger screen, and there it is, right? It's going to be slow at this point in time, and that's one lesson learned. What happens at this point in time is that the device is now activated. The device will also start updating immediately. It will immediately go for an update and check, is there an update of the operating system? Are there updates for the applications? What do you have for me, cloud, right? And all that stuff is, if the user is connected over Wi-Fi at that point in time, being downloaded to the device in real time. So that's one lesson learned. If in a deployment, you have an older version of the OS and the applications, which get updated in separate trains, right? I'll talk about that tomorrow morning. So applications are not always updated or nearly never updated with the OS. The OS has an update, and then all the applications in the store have updates. And most of the user interface that you see in a Windows 10 mobile device, as well as on a Windows 10 device, if we exclude the desktop, right, are all application settings, et cetera. All these user interface elements are all apps that are being updated from the store as such. If you want to look at all the apps, you can go to the store with a browser and just search for Microsoft, and it will give you all the apps that are in the store, or even apps that you will never go and buy in the store because they are come with the phone, right? But they are being updated by the store through Windows Update at this point in time. Any questions? Now I have a device that is registered. I have a secure ID on the device. I'm ready to go. Yes? You can set it up for your users, but if you're in a situation where you only have certificates.
Yeah, but we took your advice, you've got to register.
Yeah, it's a good question. You would have to integrate your certificate environment with Azure AD. That's the only solution I have at this point in time. Yeah, which is a pain. We should work on making it less of a pain, that's for sure. It's a pain on desktop too, right? But a little easier to figure out because you have a desktop as such. Other questions? Oh yeah, I'll repeat the questions. So the question was actually, what do you do if you don't have passwords, only certificates to authenticate users? And the answer is very short. You need to integrate your PKI with your Azure AD to deliver that. Go ahead. If you can, yeah. Yes.
That was on a different device.
Was on a different device, yes.
How would it make any sense to send it to the same device and have a same?
Well, if it's a, I'm not sure in that stage. I know in that stage the device can receive a call. So you can have it as a voice call coming in. You can pick it up and then you can dial in the number that is being pre-registered, if you want, for that user, right? Or the user could be called on a landline, on his office number that is pre-registered for that user. So if you do these types of verification, you need to pre-register that call number, right, to send texts or call as such in Azure AD. And you can ask the user to do that from a PC as such. All right? Here's five. Okay. We just did that. So lessons learned. Getting your head around what is Windows Hello and the authentication infrastructure and something is something you need to spend some time on, right? So if you want to test it, don't do it. Don't activate a eval version tonight. Take your time. Read about. There's a lot of stuff on TechNet around Azure AD and Windows Hello, as well as a number of sessions here at Ignite, right? There are some incomplete scenarios with Windows Hello, right? Not all applications support authentication with Windows Hello. So some applications will still require a password. So although you have gotten rid for a few of them, not for all of them. So it's important to see that this is not complete. This is a journey, and we're working on completing it as such. You can, for example, for those who are using S/MIME, I know it's not a lot of customers, but some do, encrypted email, you can sign S/MIME email with Azure AD credentials, right? But you cannot encrypt it because an encryption key for email needs to be escrowed, needs to be backed up, because otherwise nobody else can read it, and Azure AD at this point in time does not support this mechanism of decryption keys with public and private keys across the internet yet, right? And if you're using virtual smart cards, which you may, because you're a certificate-based authentication company, right? Virtual smart cards is not something that is supported at this point in time through Azure AD. Again, this is a journey. We're not finally there yet. And then you need to be sure that you have all the infrastructure there, that you're prepared. It's a question of gathering all these requirements and making sure you do your design properly before you actually try to roll this out with your Windows 10 or Windows 10 PCs or mobile devices as such. And we have some cleaning up to do in terms of enabling the user and making the experience for the user better than we have it right now. I think it's okay, you saw me walking through it, but that's still too many steps, right? Let's be clear, it's too many steps. We want to enable you as an IT professional to create provisioning packages so that you can put a provisioning package on the device that actually provisions the device for the user and only requires the users to know a few things like their password or their temporary one-time PIN or something like that, and the device is a go, that they don't have to type and mistype, as I did too, right, on the device, because that's where these things fail, and that generates support costs and calls and slows down deployments. In most cases, the customers I work with create a deployment guide for the end user. Who is also creating a deployment guide for the end user when they deploy mobile devices? So multiple people are doing that, right? It's still too complex. That's my learning, if you want, and that's probably the learning you have too. So working on that to make it more simple, easier for the user to get their devices enrolled, because what's happening here too, and that's a step we have taken to make it easier. If your MDM system is registered with Azure AD, once I have registered my device in Azure AD, it will automatically go to your MDM system and say, I have a new device for you, put down all the policies, bring the applications down, etc., from the MDM system. So that happens automatically, and the user doesn't have to do multiple steps to get there. So that brings us to configuration management. I'm going to have to speed up a little bit, but Windows 10 has a management infrastructure across all Windows 10 versions, right? That can be used through Azure AD, that can be used to provisioning with Windows ICD, and that can be used with the MDM client that is built in the OS. You don't have to install one on the operating system, right? The operating system comes with one that MDM systems use. And with EAS, or Exchange Active Sync, if you're still using Exchange Server to manage devices, some customers do, it also uses the same CSPs or configuration providers in the OS to configure the device itself. From Microsoft, you can choose Intune, or you choose Hybrid Intune with System Center, and you can now also use for on-premise kiosk or handheld type of deployments, system center natively without Intune connectors connecting it to the internet. So you do everything on-premise to be able to do mobile device management there. Again, this will require some additional work because that scenario is certainly not complete. Specifically also the trust that needs to be generated between your system center and a device in terms of a device certificate, provisioning of the identity on the device, et cetera, or things that you need to do with a provisioning package. These CSPs or configuration service providers, they understand a language which is called SyncML. It's a standard, it's part of the OMADM standard, right? This is documented on Microsoft TechNet as well as on Microsoft MSDN and available for all mobile device management vendors and also for you if you want to kind of drill down in a certain area of mobile device management and the CSPs and how they function. You can look at here. Every CSP can be kind of, and the URL is ak.ms/CSP, right? Every CSP understands an XML file. That's what's being sent to the CSP to configure it or change it. And then the CSP sends an XML file back. It's a session-based protocol, right? The device or the MDM server sets up a session and they exchange something in the session and then disconnect, right? They are not constantly connected. They can reach out to each other using WINS because every MDM server will automatically also register a unique ID in WINS, which is a cloud push notification service that is run in the Microsoft cloud and that all MDMs use. And so when they need to reach each other, for example, you need to wipe now, right? WINS will connect, can push to the device a wipe command immediately. And whenever the device is connected to the network as such, it will receive that command and execute. In Intune, you can set policies with the user interface. And you can do that in all MDM systems, right? You have a management console, usually browser-based. You go there and you set in elements in that interface. SyncML is an XML file, as we said, right? A unique device, OMAURI, which is this command within the XML file that is being sent. And in this case, the XML file says, password length needs to be six digits, right? In Intune and in many others like MobileIron and AirWatch, in my experience, you can send custom policy to the device. So if a certain policy that is supported by the Windows operating system is not yet supported in the user interface of the MDM, you can create this custom policies, or you can actually write your own XML if you want, and there are lots of examples in the ak.ms/CSP, right? And nearly with every customer, I've had to write custom XML to help configure a certain setting because the MDM vendor, including Intune, right, wasn't ready yet with certain functionality delivered that was supported by the OS the customer wanted, or wanted to test anyway, right? So you can set these custom URLs if you want, or URIs, and copy and paste them here, generate the XML, and send it to the device and configure it and get the feedback back. As I said, there's a reference here, right? And the sole URL you need to remember is aka.ms/CSP. For you to get to this website, figure out what version of Windows 10 support what CSPs, what this CSP can do, and how they are implemented, what the result will be if you use one of these CSPs to configure a device. These CSPs are also used with provisioning packages. You can also configure a device with provisioning packages. And it's very common to configure a device with provisioning packages when we're talking about a task-based device solution, right? You're in a warehouse, you're in a car manufacturer's environment, you wanna have the workers within those environments being able to consult what is in stock or not in stock, what problems there are in the production, those kind of things, all kinds of line of business applications. Configuring a device like that with a provisioning package is very easy because it doesn't require all the email and what have you, right? Users are using, or they can, but it doesn't require that. And you can easily reset the device and reapply the provisioning package whenever a device needs to be replaced or another user needs to use it. You can actually have multiple roles on a device and activate them with these provisioning packages. Provisioning packages can be applied at any point in time or all the way in the beginning. You remember that I said it was US English and it was in the US. At that point in time, if I would have tapped 5 times on the Windows button of the device, I would have entered the provisioning state of the device and would have asked, where is the provisioning package? You could be on an SD card. It could be on a other removable USB drive, for example. It could be on a PC connected with the USB cable to the device. So if multiple places you can put these packages on. And they will be applied to the device and then being used. See if this one is still awake. And it is number 6. So this tool, Windows Imaging and Configuration Designer, comes with the ADK. If you look for Windows 10 ADK on the internet, right, you can install it. It takes about more than 30 minutes, right, because it also downloads desktop deployment tools, but it also deploys the Windows Imaging and Configuration Designer. You can create a new project. You need to choose what the project is called. It's a provisioning package. And then you choose the edition of Windows that you want to use, right? It could be all Windows editions. And then you finish the package. At that point in time, you can select all the settings and policies, right? Like allow, disallow the camera. These are the CSPs, right? That you configure in a graphical user interface. Right down here, if you click here, you will end up on the website that I was just talking about that explains this specific CSP, and you create a package. So I have, I think it's a Lumia 930 here. And I haven't provisioned this device, but I can try to do that, right? Let's just go to in the file system in this case, and I'm going to go to the SD card. This is one that has an SD card built in. I'm going to the SD card, and I have a number of provisioning packages here, right? Like, for example, block the camera. It's going to ask me if I trust the application. Or it's going to do something, and we don't know what it's doing, but, right? So it's going to apply this package and disable the camera for me, so I can no longer use the camera. I have the camera button here, and it's going to ask me permission. Yeah, camera still works. Yeah, you can use it. Did I use this, the right package? Kill the camera. do it again. I'm not sure it's applying the package. No, it's not. But just block Wi-Fi. See if that one works. No, neither of them are working. Sorry about that. They worked earlier today, but we're in Murphy, so something needs to go wrong, right? So normally, this package would just disable the camera or disable Wi-Fi. I could remove it. You can protect the package. You can encrypt it. You can password protect it, those kind of things, so people can change them. Or people cannot accept packages. You can have MDM policy to remove the capability of a device to accept a provisioning package, because you can see this coming, right? Anybody can install the ADK and send provisioning packages to trusting parties. If I send a provisioning package to my wife, she will say, oh, he's sending me something, let's click on it, right? Because she trusts me, right? And you will just apply it to her device. We don't want that type of stuff to happen, so take care of security when you use provisioning packages or the configuration designer for this. And then you can manage a number of stuff when you're deploying your device. Certificates is the first one that is obviously asked. We support SCEP. You can also do PFX certificates and distributing or enable them with your Intune or your management system. So people have these certificates to authenticate against applications. Remember that not all applications support Windows Hello. So you may want to consider using certificates instead, because it eliminates the passwords again. And applications, line of business applications, support it too. For specific encryption certificates such as SMIME, et cetera, or TPM protected or virtual smart card, there are a number of third parties who have add-ons that will help you manage those if you want to do that specific. I know, for example, the US federal government is using TPM protected certificates or smart cards, et cetera, across the board. And they are working together with a party of ours, a third party of ours, that delivers this kind of derived identity providers across the, for them to support Windows 10 and Windows 10 mobile devices. The VPN capabilities have been expanded. This is really the direction we're going for secure remote access, is VPN. It's focusing on one single VPN infrastructure across Windows 10 Mobile and Windows 10 for PCs, as well as the other Windows 10 versions and IoT and for HoloLens, et cetera, because HoloLens also has the same MDM infrastructure. You can manage HoloLenses, right? Which sometimes really needed. If you think about some of these line of business applications being used with HoloLens, the VPN infrastructure is universal across all Windows, manageable across MDM, and integrates not just with Microsoft VPN, but also remote access, but also with third-party VPN providers like Juniper, Cisco, F5, et cetera, right? Available through the market or the store as such, as plugins to be installed on the device. And then, you have per-app VPN, so whenever a user uses a certain application that needs to connect, automatically the VPN will be brought up, and if that application is closed or goes to the background, the tunnel will be closed for that application, so that you have per-app VPN, or you have an always-on VPN possibility, which is heavier because it brings all the traffic that the user generates on a device to your network, and you will have to split it off at that point in time. You can also use split tunneling VPN to enable the internet traffic if you want to go directly to the internet over the mobile operator network instead of over your network as such. And then assigned access, again, requires you. Assigned access is this kiosk-based view of a device, which is very popular on Windows 10 devices, Windows 10 mobile devices. It enables you to define the user experience as well as the roles that are need to be on the device, like a technician and a supervisor, or a shop manager and an associate, those kind of things. Allows you to set it up that only those applications and tiles are available to the user, no settings, etc., and apply that to the device. To do that, you will have to create an XML file that defines that experience. There is, at this point in time, no graphical designer to do it. It really requires you to write XML files. There are examples of that on Microsoft.com. Specifically on TechNet to define those settings as such. Obviously, these devices are also available in kind of ruggedized versions from multiple vendors, not just as phones, but phones are very often used with a sleeve, etc., also as a ruggedized device. And then the final piece for today is app management and the store for business. So it allows you to do volume purchasing of applications, even if they are free. You can license applications in the store for business or the business store, but it's the store for business. You can reclaim licenses, etc. You can distribute them offline and online, and you can create your own company store. Six. I will probably have to re-authenticate, but if I go to okay. This is the business store. I will sign in as the same demo persona card. I already signed in this browser session. You see I'm using a in private session, so keeps it separate as such. This is my Contoso store, right? That I have also on a device that I see in the device store app, if you want. But this is the IT Pro interface. I can shop for any application and add it to my store. I don't know. Looks like a real business application. So I'll get this app, right, and add it to my personal store. In some circumstances, like for example, if you license PowerPoint mobile, the universal PowerPoint app, you will see two buttons. You will see get the app and download the app. In this case, it's probably not downloadable, so it will be added to my inventory. This can take sometimes 12 to 24 hours, right, before it's really there. And I'm going to immediately add it to my private store. If I look to my, it says so, 24 hours, it's usually faster, but it can take up to 24 hours. So just be aware of that. That's not like I'm going to license an app and I'm going to distribute it in a few minutes. If I go to my inventory, you will see that I have a number of apps here that are licensed to me that I've put in my private store, which I call Contoso. So users will go into the store app on the phone and see a category called Contoso and be able to download these apps. If there are for money apps, you can buy them unlimited for all your users, or you can assign them to specific users if you want. Otherwise, they will be there. The other thing you can do is for distribution, create or integrate with a management tool. This is the stored Steam's words for an MDM system. And so in this case, I have activated Microsoft Intune as my management tool. So anything I license in the store for business will automatically be available in my Intune. If I go to Intune, and I go to apps, I can see volume purchased apps here. And these are the apps we just saw in the store. I can just deploy one of these, right? If you want your users to have a VPN, this is a typical one that you would deploy immediately at registration. My device is registered in AD, in MDM, and I'm gonna ask the MDM to push down the F5 VPN client immediately to all my users, right? And I'm gonna say all users at next. I want everybody to have this one. So I'm gonna make it a required install as soon as possible. So the first time they connect to the MDM system, they will get this app and I will finish. Obviously, it's important to configure the VPN on the device at the same time with in the MDM system, so you push the app down and the VPN configuration at the same time through using a VPN policy, which you in Intune do using your configuration policies, right? A VPN policy, okay? Registering in the store, the only thing you need is the IT pro needs an Azure AD account. That's the only requirement. There is no, it's a gratis, so there's no fee associated with it. Obviously, if you buy apps, you will have to pay for those apps too, obviously, right? You register in the store, you select them, you give names, you customize it, you create roles, etc. in this application. You have a question, sir? Yes, if you're in hybrid solution, the SCCM console will be using Intune to manage these apps and distribute them online for you.
So we enable that management
interface there from the business store, those apps, so that would basically force down. Yes, store right. So if you're hybrid, you have an Azure AD, right? Your Intune is registered with your Azure AD. If you are registering for the business store with the same Azure AD, automatically it will show up here. The only thing you need to click is activate all the way on the in one of the previous screens. On the right side, you need to activate it. It will be there, but it won't be activated until you activate it as such, as a distribution channel for applications, right? Yeah. Other questions? That's the wrong one. Let's go back to five. So the store enables you to license these apps and distribute them. The only thing you need is web access. Go there, acquire apps, manage your licenses, and deploy them with your deployment tool. It's a very simple way of distributing applications. If you really want to work offline, you will have to do more work. You can download some, but not all applications. ISV has to opt in to download. You will download the full application package, right? And it has four or five downloads per package, or how should I say, elements in the package that are being downloaded that describe the app and et cetera, right? As well as the app package itself. And you will be able to upload that package in your MDM or configuration manager and distribute them to Windows 10 devices as such. But you will need to do the work in terms of distributing the apps, managing the licenses, if there are licenses associated with it, and not every ISV will allow you to download their applications, right? Offline is certainly something that is very useful if on a desktop site, I would call it, or when we call about assigned access or kiosk mode devices, where you want to kind of pre-populate the device with all the right applications and just use provisioning package to bring it up and use it, or on a desktop to include those applications in your image if you have a corporate image that you are distributing as such, right? On the mobile side, it's way easier, less work to do online licensing and software distribution than to do it on-premise and with offline licenses. I did the store demo. So we're working on some additional things for the store of business, more elements for delegation. You want to be able to delegate, certainly in larger and complex organizations that are globally structured as such. At this point in time, for applications that need to be paid for, we only have credit cards, and that's not acceptable for a lot of customers, right? You want POs, et cetera. So that's being worked on. When you acquire an application, it's sometimes slow. I said, can be 24 hours, can be 4 hours, but it's not something that happens like that. And we want to see that going faster. And then when you look at the store within the store app, you only have one category, right? For me, it's the Contoso category, and my users in Contoso all need to go into the Contoso category and look for all the apps. There are no subcategories in there, right? That's also something that a lot of users or organizations want. And they also want the app to just start in the private store. Today, if you start the store app on a device, it will just show all the consumer games, etc., right? So they want them to be stored in start in the store category, the private category for your users, for your company. So this kind of closes our session of today. We covered how we think about identity and how to prepare for that. We didn't do health attestation. That's something for tomorrow. There's an error on this slide. We did configuration management, app management, and software distribution from the store as such. I hope this was useful. If you have any other additional questions, let me know. You can come back tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, see the second part of it, and ask questions then. But if you have them now, please do. Otherwise, thank you. Please do evals. And there's a great deployment guide, the management guide, or aka.ms/Windows Mobile Management Guide. I wrote it myself, so it's great. You can go and get that, and it walks you through a lot of what I've talked about today with more details and links to specific pages on TechNet, so you can get the details there as such. And otherwise, see you tomorrow. Thank you.